And welcome to Just a Minute, the orally challenging game for those who are obviously orally challenged. First, I'll introduce my guests. And my regular guest is, as usual, the effervescently witty, the incandescently convivial, the consistently cheerful, Tony Slattery. Yeah! Performance. Sitting next to Tony, a startlingly original actor, writer, comedian, who has written and performed such shows as Mother Teresa's Grand Farewell Tour and the Karen Carpenter Bar and Grill. And all in the best possible taste, it's Graham Norton! Yeah. On my right, a wonderful comedian, an actress, an intergalactic space vet, an ex-flaming hamster. She's also very well known as the dark-haired one in the cream cheese adverts. The captivating Anne Bryson! And lastly, a man once described by Janice Street Porter as a thoroughly irritating man, neither young, attractive, or witty, so I think we can take it the wedding is off. Someone who's doing very well without Janet, actually, Arthur Smith! Four panelists this week who are going to try and play Just a Minute. The rules are simply ridiculous. Well, I'm sorry, no, they are ridiculously simple, but it depends on the way you play the game. The rules, such as they are, is that they have to speak for just a minute on the subject that I give them. They try and do that without hesitating, repeating anything, or deviating from the subject. They can challenge at any moment. If I uphold the challenge, they gain a point, and if not, then the one speaking gains a point. It will all become clear as we play the game, and we are starting this week with Tony Slattery. And who better, you may say? Tony Slattery, the House of Lords. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Many of the peers sitting in the House of Lords have been clinically dead for 10 years. This doesn't stop them voting. Why? Because they take a peculiar type of stimulant. It's known as disgusting cream cheese. I think you know what I mean. Smear themselves in it. It gets all mixed up with their ermine and all their robes and they...
Arthur Smith challenge.
Well, it's a load of rubbish, isn't it? And I've never heard such a load of old tosh in my life.
Well, there certainly...
I have, actually. I'm about to talk it.
But there certainly was devious from the House of Lords, because though it was a lovely idea, it was not, I don't think, very factual. Arthur, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that. He has gained the subject. The House of Lords, starting 40 seconds, by the way, now.
Do you remember that old advert, "This is luxury you can afford" by Cyril Lord? Well, Cyril lives in a house in Berkhamsted.
Anne, yes.
There were two Cyrils,
yes. You can't have two Cyrils in this game. Anne Bryson.
Yeah, you haven't done yet, anyway.
What? No, we don't, actually.
Oh, well,
no.
Stop having a chat amongst yourself. Lane, just a minute.
Anne,
you have the subject, you have gained your first point, you have 34 seconds to tell us something about the House of Lords, starting now.
The House of Lords is a very large building next to the House of Commons in Westminster, which is quite near the Thames, which runs along there in a... Oh, dear.
A big hesitation, I'm afraid.
I must remind our viewers that you can repeat the subject on the card, so it was all right to say House a second time. Tony, you have another point. You have 25 seconds. House of Lords, starting now.
The House of Lords, of course, is useful in terms of bringing in new legislation. For instance, should there be a bill which bans the type of shirt which Arthur Smith is wearing? I say yes, and if that were put to the vote, I have no doubt that the distinguished gentlemen in their capes and leather booties, because they're hiding quite a lot of things underneath, let me tell you, would...
Arthur, you challenged.
I'd like to defend this shirt, which I borrowed from Nicholas earlier this afternoon.
And that was the most devious thing that you've ever said, Arthur. Tony, you have another point for an incorrect challenge, and you've very luckily got 1 second to go, starting now.
The House of Lords is one of the...
That 60 seconds are up. And when that whistle goes... No, let me just tell the viewers first. When the whistle goes, whoever is speaking gains an extra point, and it was Tony Slattery. Tony, what do you wish to say?
Oh, shut your face. I'm not caring.
Don't be so horrid. I'm trying to do a difficult job here. Keep the show moving, give them the rules, and, you know, have a bit of fun, give
this
you a few...
This is luxury you can afford, by Cyril Lord! It's the carpet. It's the same over. Wash it, and it just brings back giving the treatment, the family treatment.
Repetition.
Oh,
repetition,
sorry.
Right. At the end of that round, Tony Slattery has a lead, and who's going to get the next? Graham Norton, will you take the next round? The subject is tipping taxi drivers. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Tipping taxi drivers can be very dangerous, because if you tip them too far out the window, they can't see what they're doing, or change gears or anything, and they might crash the taxi into a frozen vol-au-vent case, or something like that. Tipping taxi drivers is...
These syllables are getting really elongated.
Tipping taxi driver. The vowels are there. Got to use them.
I think you must have heard Kenneth Williams playing this game on the radio and it's trying to emulate him there. I think we were getting close to hesitations. Arthur, I give you the benefit of the doubt. 38 seconds are left for you to tell us something about tipping taxi drivers, starting now.
Tipping taxi drivers. Hesitation, elongated vowels.
Yes, hoisted on his own petard.
No, that was a parody.
I know it was, but it was also hesitation.
You wouldn't recognise that, would you?
A man who wears a shirt like that cannot say a thing about
oh,
that.
Oh, not the old shirt gang.
Right, 35 seconds with you, Graham. Tipping taxi drivers, starting now.
Tipping taxi drivers can cost you a bomb if you pay them a lot of money. I don't give them very much myself, because they never know the way to my house, because I live in a rather obscure suburb. But it's tree-lined, and the taxi drivers do like that, because it's nice and shady.
Because
there's
quite a few.
Yes, you said because more than once. Well, listen, Anne, yes, you've got in on the subject of tipping taxi drivers. There are 20 seconds left.
20.
Starting now.
Tipping taxi drivers can be very good because they don't often earn very much money, and they also say things like, can't take yourself out of the river.
Well, that's bloody deviation. They earn a bomb.
Have we got any taxi drivers in the audience? No, we haven't.
Yes, the son over there says he doesn't earn very much at all.
Can you take Nicholas Parsons home?
I don't think we can judge on whether they earn a bomb. Some probably earn a lot, some don't, so I don't think technically he was deviating. So, Anne, you have the benefit of the doubt. You have a point, 14 seconds on the subject, starting now.
Tipping taxi drivers is very good if you want to get a receipt, because then they say, oh, love, would you like a couple more for your tax man?
Oh, that is...
She's patronising the working classes.
Well, you were taught that.
I was doing chippy, chirpy, chappy.
Well, exactly.
My dad used to be a taxi driver.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't, you're right. He might have been.
With a lot of devious thoughts there. Anne, I disagree with the challenge. You have another point and 6 seconds on the subject, starting now.
There's a man who lives across the road from me called Paul, and he's a taxi driver, and I like to phone him up and ask him if he will take me to lots of places.
Anne Bryson was then speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so, and she has taken the lead at the end of that round. She's now two ahead of Tony Slattery. Arthur Smith, will you take the next round? The subject is the Chamber of Horrors. A good subject, Arthur. Can you tell us something about it in 60 seconds? I see you're girding yourself to long into the subject. What is coming forth from this icon of the comedy scene? 60 seconds starting now.
In my Chamber of Horrors, there are some enormous teeth. Now, these great gnashers bite into my legs quite frequently, and I find that most disconcerting. Another thing about what happens in the Chamber of Horrors, in my bedroom, is this enormous woman in ducks.
They were too enormous.
You had a correct challenge, and you have 22 seconds to take over the Chamber of Horrors, starting now.
Weirdly, I know the person to whom Arthur refers.
Yes, she comes from Switzerland. She's not known in this country. She is a fair Swiss maid, and she often appears in pantomime.
No, sorry, Switzerland and Swiss, sorry. I was wrong, sorry.
There's just no, don't apologise.
Oh, okay.
You're killing
okay,
us, will, what we like
okay,
now.
I won't apologise. All right, sorry, I won't apologise.
He looks so protective, don't
you? He's all right, he'll hit you. Leave her alone.
No, but if someone's interrupted, they do gain a point, so Tony, have another point for that. 11 seconds on the Chamber of Horrors, starting now.
A lot of people mistake the House of Lords for a Chamber of Horrors, because it's full of corpses, frankly. Let's not beat around the bush. Many of them, their hearts have stopped. But nevertheless, inside, along with the acid bath murderers of Nicholas...
Oh, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? I just stopped him saying something. Anyway, Tony Snatchery was again speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so, and he's gone back into the lead. Arthur, the subject is alternative uses for Buckingham Palace. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
An immense toilet is the obvious gag that comes to mind and appears to get a laugh, so I'm glad I said it. Another alternative use for Buckingham Palace, or Buck House, as some of us know it, is to palm off a load of cheap trips that are worth nothing for foreign tourists to go around fondling corgis, having a miserable time, putting more money into the bloody Queen's coffers. I'm avoiding taxes to pay for the likes of this. So therefore, I propose that Buckingham Palace be turned into an enormous outhouse in which the nation's homeless can defile themselves in political disgust at the system. Oh, thank God for that.
Yes. Sorry, that was brilliant, and I let him go. But there were two enormouses, right?
I know, it was enormous, wasn't it? Yes, he did say.
There was an immense, it was an immense.
It was immense.
I withdraw my challenge. You'll have to start again.
And furthermore, I'd like to say...
No, therefore, you've got to carry on, Arthur.
Yes. Oh,
you've got a point for an incorrect challenge.
Buckingham Palace.
It was, alternative uses for Buckingham Palace. And there are 15 seconds left, starting now.
Another alternative use for Buckingham Palace would to be shave yourself and make all the little hairs that have come off your face into a tiny little doll's house. That would be very exciting indeed. For no one at all, except possibly me, who is wittering on endlessly, just as the royal family have done for centuries now. The Russians, they know how to treat a royal family, that's what I say, and so does Jack D, because I stole that joke from him in the first place. It's funny how long the minutes can last sometimes. As Marcel Proust noted in his memorable book, A la recherche du temps perdu, which goes, Je me réveillais cet été pendant la guerre de l'amour. Alors c'est là, je sportais une petite complet avec une chemise et une cravate.
Well, you stretched that 15 seconds to another 45 seconds. And so you actually went for another whole minute after that. So, Arthur, the audience enjoyed it. He gains another point because we were very wicked and let him go on and on. So we give him 2 points for all that. Well done, Arthur. The next round is slightly different. I don't give them a subject. We present them with an object. We present them with an object. Angel-looking object. My goodness, what is that? What they have to do now is to talk about that object. Describe it if they can. They might know what it is, they might not. Let's find out. Graham Norton, would you start? You have 60 seconds as usual. Tell us something about the object, starting now.
This object is a jaunty handbag made from an ostrich egg. The owner can retrieve it if they'd like to come down afterwards, because I see there's a little name written on it there, which I can't see from this distance. In this handbag, you could carry such...
Arthur, your challenge.
A bit of Lady Bracknell, two handbags.
Yes, he retrieved a little handbag, and he was completely devious because he did not tell us what it was. Arthur, there are 43 seconds for you to tell us something about this object, starting now.
It is indisputably true that this object is a love egg. What do you use it for?
Anne, you're challenged.
There's a bit of a pause after what between love God, egg really. And... Yeah. Challenged, actually, because I don't really know what it is.
Well, it's a bit big for a love egg. It's no one I know, in that sense.
Anne, you still have to talk about it even if you live in Switzerland.
And the chain might be a bit tricky, too.
Anne, you still have to speak, even if you don't know what it is.
Then.
There are 37 seconds. The object is there, starting now.
The object looks rather like a hand grenade, which is a bit odd, and I wish somebody would interrupt me, because that's about all I have to say on the subject. Thank you.
Graham, Mr.
I'm just interrupting you, please, Anne.
Bless you, bless you.
So you have a point for that, a correct challenge, because she paused and deviated, and the subject is with you. The object is with you. 31 seconds starting now.
This is the sort of Easter egg you could use every year, which is very handy for hunts. in the back garden, which can be sponsored for charity work, or you could just have it for hey hula, the fun of it, with their kids looking under shrubs.
I'm sorry, you were saying brilliantly, but hey hula, anyone could say that.
I did.
I could say look at the booty one. It would still be gibberish.
But I wouldn't challenge you.
So what is your agenda?
It was deviation from the English language, because they were just nonsense syllables strung together.
It was also deviation from the subject.
Yeah.
The object is the subject.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the object.
What is it?
Ah, you can get a bonus point if you get it right. Tony, correct challenge, 12 seconds, the object's there, starting now.
This comes from an early and very naff episode of Doctor Who, entitled Terror of the Unfrightening Ceramic Things. Yes, with John Pertwee, the world was threatened by these dreadful artifacts as they...
Tony was then speaking as a whistleblower and gained an extra point for doing so, and he's now equal in the lead with Anne Bryson. Any one of you can gain a bonus point if you can actually tell me what the object is. You can all have a quick guess, gain a bonus point.
Has it got rum inside it?
No, it's something to do with
St. Bernard dogs.
No, it's something to do with royalty.
It's a hand warmer.
Yes! Oh. Yes! It's a Queen Victoria's muff warmer.
So really, it was a rum bag after all.
She was always sitting down.
They may well take it away, yes. Actually, that's what is it on the card in front of me. It would have been more delicate if they'd said Queen Victoria's hand muff warmer.
No, she wasn't. She wasn't. She did have her hands in there as well, did she?
That's capacious.
Oh, yeah. And with any luck, I might still be working on television next week. But I may have blown it completely with that last remark of mine. The audience enjoyed it anyway. So with that last point that Tony Snatchery got, it put him 1 point in the lead ahead of Anne Bryson. And we now move to the commercial break. And after that seriously disturbing display of man's inhumanity to man and woman, we'll take a breather and patch up our differences. Stay tuned, and we'll see you, or more likely, you will see us after this. Just a minute. The game that we literally make up as we go along. Except the rules, of course, that I make up. So what should we do next? I'll tell you what we'll do next. We will take a subject from our audience. They will suggest a subject on which they would like one of our panelists to speak. Have we got any ideas, any thoughts? Yes, a gentleman at the back there. Yes, what is your subject?
Not tonight, Josephine.
That's quite a good one, yes. Is that from memory? What about the lady with the long hair? Yes. Stand up, please.
What the Thames Barrier reminds me of.
Yes, not bad. A bit intellectual. The lady behind you, yes?
What I caught on holiday.
Oh, yes. On the side of the audience, yes?
Favourite ball games.
Ball games. My goodness me, right. Well, Anne, I'm going to ask you to... any of those subjects appeal to you? Because I think we should ask you to start.
Thanks. Probably what I caught on holiday.
Yes, I think so.
Fresh
all
in
right.
My mind.
Fresh in my mind. Right. All right, Anne, would you take the begin the subject? What I caught on holiday, 60 seconds, starting now.
What I caught on holiday was a very large fish when I went out in a boat with the Italian waiter from the hotel where I was staying. He asked me if I would like to go out in a thing on the sea, and I said that that would be very pleasant, thank you very much. He then decided... that, yes, it was rubbish. Sure.
She's just ripped off the plot from Shirley Valentine.
So it's
deviation and rubbish, generally.
No, I think it's quite true. She did repeat a couple of things, but nobody challenged her for that.
No.
So, therefore, she keeps the
repetition.
Now, Arthur, your first challenge, anyone I can accept. There are 44 seconds left, Anne. You have another point.
Oh, I carry on.
Yes, you carry on,
right.
I don't accept the challenge.
Can I change?
Just carry on.
Can't change
the
subject.
She meets, what's her name, Paula, and then they get together.
What I caught on holiday, 44 seconds starting now.
What I caught on holiday was an Italian count. I caught him.
And Tony Snatcher.
Two Italians.
You had too many Italians on your holiday.
An Italian waiter.
An Italian waiter, yes.
What a holiday that was.
All those Italians on your holiday, right. 41 seconds, what I caught on holiday, Tony, starting now.
Curiously and depressingly, what I caught on holiday...
I don't know if it is that curious. Given that interestingly wasn't good enough for me. Adverbs clearly a bit dangerous.
I know, but...
I don't think it's curious. Whatever it is, I'm not at all curious about it.
You made your point, Arthur, you made your point. But the thing is that I said when it happened to you that he's not deviating from the rules of the game, so he gets a point for being interrupted and continues with 39 seconds while I caught on holiday, starting now.
In my lonely hotel room, I was unlucky enough to catch the reruns of Sale of the Century. Naturally enough, I was tempted to take my own life, and so I fled to the balcony and soared into the air like Icarus, and to my amazement, I found that I could fly, and I was not made of wax. And
Anne Bryson.
Not really caught on holiday, really, is it?
Icarus, yes, he's now deviated, flying, yes, off the balcony, yes, into a world of fantasy, of dream surrealism. Right, 22 seconds for you, Anne. Take over the subject, starting now.
When I went on holiday to Greece, I also went out with another man who serves at table, and he was very pleasant too, and offered me tiramisu latte and hummus and tzatziki.
Graham.
When are we getting to the court bit?
Yes, thank you, Mrs.
Yes. What I caught on holiday,
all
yes.
Right, I was coming to that.
11 seconds for you, Graham, to tell us something about what I caught on holiday starting now.
What I caught on holiday was a nasty disease which seemed not to have a name, certainly none that the foreign doctor, wouldn't you know it, on holiday could tell me about.
Getting an extra point for doing so, but he's still in fourth place as we move into the final round. And Bryson, first time player of the game, is only 1 point behind our leader, who is still Tony Slattery. It is going to be the last round. Graham Norton, it's your turn to begin. Ooh, the subject, the old lady of Threadneedle Street. Will you tell us something about her in this game, starting now?
The old lady of Threadneedle Street needs a good wash. Her personal hygiene leaves a lot to be desired. I don't believe she possesses a deodorant, not even an average over-the-counter roll-on.
I used to go out with the old lady. And so her personal hygiene is very, very good, in fact.
But that's relative, Arthur.
That's relative.
Relative to me. It's true. She's filthy.
Yeah. It could have been a different old lady you were thinking about, Arthur. I disagree with the challenge. So, Graham, you have another point. Oh. You have the subject, the old lady of Threadneedle Street. 48 seconds starting now.
The old lady of Threadneedle Street loves to jaunt around La Capitale on her mobilette, a sort of French moped. Yeehaw, look at her get her leg over it. And just down. Ignoring bus lanes and taxi ranks, one-way systems, what have you. The old lady of Threadneedle Street is a favourite at the House of Fraser, where she adores wandering willy-nilly, hey, hurrah, towards the lingerie department.
I'm sorry.
It was worth a try.
It was. We were just back to this Middle European foreign language again. Hey, hoopy doo doo doo.
Willy-nilly, hey, hoop, hurrah.
See, he says it.
Yeah. It's hardly a measure of normality, is it?
I was just about to give you the benefit of the doubt there. So what was your challenge, Tony?
It was a deviation, because there were some sort of nonsense syllables.
Yes, I think he was getting away from the old lady of Threadneedle Street. 15 seconds for you, Tony, on the subject, starting now.
The old lady of Threadneedle Street is, in fact, me. I now admit that I dressed like...
Anne Bryson.
It's rubbish.
I think it is rubbish. I don't think it looks a bit like the old lady of Threadneedle Street. Either the real one or a fictitious one. So, Anne...
I used to go out with him as well.
And you have a correct challenge. There are 9 seconds. And you could win the game if you keep going for those 9 seconds, because it's very close. Starting now.
The old lady of Threadneedle Street is not Tony Slattery, as he mentioned earlier. It is, in fact, a fictitious character from historical times.
Then the extra point for doing so, and we have come to the end of the contest, such as it was. But equal in the lead were Anne Bryson and Tony Slattery, so we say they are our joint winners this week. say when you arrange to say goodbye, foe. From Tony Satteri, from Graham Norton, from Anne Bryson and Arthur Smith, and myself, Nicholas Parsons. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we'll see you next time we launch ourselves into your living rooms to play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.